Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas, welcome to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas. We're glad to be able to share with you on this 29th of September 2019. This last Monday, the 23rd, was the first day of fall. And so welcome to a little bit lower temperatures. It's been nice that it's cooling off in the evening a little bit, and in the morning, sure nice to walk our dog in the morning and enjoy all of those things that in the summer, just a little bit warmer. So we're glad that we can live in Las Vegas at this time where other places are already starting to get a little hint of snow. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and continue on where we left off before. Remember that Philip had gone into Samaria and preached the gospel, and it says in verse 12, when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now, remember, Philip was able to do these signs because the Holy Spirit enabled him to do those things. And yet, that didn't happen until, as we see in Acts chapter 6, that he had been set aside with some other different men, and they were presented to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on him. And then all of a sudden, Philip's doing these miraculous deeds, and it doesn't record a lot of other people doing them. It shows that Philip was doing this. And what's interesting about this is that it doesn't say anything about Philip laying his hands on anybody and they received any gifts of the Spirit or were able to do anything miraculous or wonderful or anything like that. And yet, it says in verse 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, remember last time we talked about in Acts 2:38, when Peter was interrupted in his first message of the gospel to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, and they interrupted him right after he declared to them, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when a person is baptized into Christ in faith, in the power of God, who's going to work through his grace and our faith, and it's a spiritual reality that happens when we're baptized in physical water, he raises us up to walk in newness of life. Just like Romans 6 says, we're buried with Christ in baptism, we're raised to walk in newness of life. So when Luke records here that the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, in that baptism is when they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where Ephesians 1 talks about that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. This is when the Holy Spirit, as it were, comes and makes his home with us. The Spirit of Christ lives in us. Paul talks about in Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, the whole Godhead is a part of our salvation. And so that's what we receive initially when we responded to the gospel. Now, in this case, Philip obviously had probably told Peter and John that these people had believed and been baptized, but here's Peter and John praying that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So this has to be something different than what they had received when they were baptized into Christ. Okay, so again, in verse 17, Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 18, it says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. All right, before we continue to talk about this, let's listen to our first song this morning, Mighty to Save. This is by Laura Story, and I just want you to realize that our God is mighty to save. He is able to save us through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on that cruel cross all of those thousands of years ago. He loves us. He demonstrates his love for us in that he wants us to come to him for forgiveness and for his grace so that we can be made whole and we can be in right relationship with him again. But friends, that's our choice. God gives us the choice to say, yes, I want that, or no, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Friends, there's only one right answer, and that's that we would embrace the truth of the gospel, just like those in Samaria had when they believed Philip as he preached to them the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed and were baptized. And so let's listen to Laura Story sing, Mighty to Save. All right, we're back this morning, and let's go back to talking about this matter of Simon seeing that the Spirit was given on at the laying on of the apostles' hands. So, like we said before, when a person responds to the gospel, when they're baptized into Christ, they receive the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We're sealed with the Spirit of God. That's not something that you can see. The Spirit is invisible. He's not a visible creation. Okay, he's a part of the Godhead. He's invisible. And so when he comes to us, when he comes to dwell in us, that's not something that you can see. Now, when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, when the heavens opened up after he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. Now, that was something that was seen by John. It was a sign for him, and that was noticeable. But that doesn't happen all the time, all right? When we're baptized into Christ, you don't see anything. So, again, all of these people had been baptized into Christ, and Peter said in Acts 2, the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And so when God calls people through the gospel and they respond in faith, then the Holy Spirit comes to indwell their life. All right? So this is something unique. Now, let's go back to Acts 2 again before Peter preached his message. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Who's they? Now, when you're reading something, a pronoun always refers back to its nearest antecedent. And in the Greek, we don't have chapter breaks and verses and everything else. It's all together. And so the last thing that you see in Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, when they cast lots, they, the apostles, the lot fell to Matthias, the two that the apostles had chosen, the lot fell to Matthias, and so he was added to the 11 apostles. Remember, Judas had hung himself. He had committed suicide. He destroyed himself. And so now Matthias is added to the 11 apostles. So there are 12. Now, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Who's they? The apostles. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, here's one of the things that's very unique. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles were all together in that one place at the temple. And all of a sudden, there was a noise. There was this sound of a violent wind, okay? And we know what that sound is like, don't we? We can't see the wind, but we can hear the effects of the wind blowing. And so there was this sound like violent wind. And then what seemed to be tongues of fire. Okay, these are all physical manifestations. And it says that they separated and came to rest on each of them. Each of who? Each of the apostles. Not everybody, not all the believers. The Holy Spirit came and the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit in a very unique way. The apostles were the foundation of the church. They were the ones that Jesus had taught and set aside, and they were his spokesmen. And so now the Holy Spirit is coming on them in a unique way. This doesn't happen again in Scripture until we get to Acts chapter 10. And I want to show you that in a minute. But I want you to see that what happens here has nothing to do with the laying on of the apostles' hands. This is the Holy Spirit that is coming on the apostles. You remember Jesus told them back in chapter 1 in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So when the Holy Spirit came on the apostles, it had nothing to do with anybody laying hands on them. This was something that God was doing. It had nothing to do with the apostles' ministry, okay? And in that case, there was physical manifestations that, wow, here's this wind and here's these tongues of flame. And then the apostles were able to speak in these other languages as the Spirit enabled them. So that was unique. It was God credentializing those men, his apostles, as they began to preach and teach the gospel to the Jew first and then the Gentile. Okay? Now, if you go over to Acts chapter 10, you see these all kind of tie in together, and it's one of those things that's not super, super, you know, important to understand, but if we want to know the Word of God, then it is important for us to recognize the distinctions between what's going on here. In Acts chapter 10, of course, Cornelius, okay, is a Gentile, and he is a follower of God and God-fearing, and it says that he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God. Well, he had a vision, because remember, God wants all men to be saved. And so he has this vision of an angel and saying, you know, send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who's called Peter. And so he did. And when they brought him there, Peter began preaching the word of God to them and telling them what was all about. If you go to verse 34 of Acts chapter 10, Peter began to speak, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as a judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So, in other words, this account doesn't say anything about the sound of the wind and the tongues of fire. But, in other words, as Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all of those who heard the message, and they began to speak in other languages, praising God, just like the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. Now, real quickly, let me just give you one more little piece of things that shows you that this was unique. He is explaining all these things in Acts chapter 11, and in verse 15, Peter explains to the council, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them," the household of Cornelius and those that were there, "came on them as he had come on us at the beginning." Okay? As he had come on us at the beginning. Who's the us? Us apostles at the beginning. Beginning of what? Pentecost, when the gospel first began to be proclaimed. So the household of Cornelius was baptized, again, not by... didn't have anything to do with the laying on of the apostles' hands. Again, God credentialized this household of Cornelius and these Gentiles who were there listening to Peter to show Peter and the other apostles that God indeed was going to accept the Gentiles as well. And this is why Peter said in chapter 10 and verse 47, "Surely no one can stand in their way of being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, in other words, the Holy Spirit came on them and they were able to speak in tongues, but that still doesn't have anything to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who comes to us when we're baptized into Christ, when we respond to the gospel. Boy, when we do that, that's when we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And of course, there would be no reason why the household of Cornelius wouldn't do that. They already had a belief in God and a love for God. Peter was just making it more clear to them that it was through Jesus Christ. God was credentializing them by giving them the miraculous gift of speaking in tongues, just like the apostles were able to do on the day of Pentecost. The apostles recognized that, and Peter said, surely, no one can stand in their way of being baptized in water, all right? If they would have already been saved and sealed and everything else with the Spirit, why be baptized, okay? The Holy Spirit coming on them was just for the purpose of being credentialized and being able to speak in tongues. And just because they were able to speak in miraculous tongues doesn't mean they had to already be baptized into Christ. And so that's what happened there. So I wanted to show you that because those two instances show the baptism or the coming of the Spirit on the apostles and on the householder Cornelius. Those were two unique events in Scripture. It doesn't ever mention that happening again like that, where the Holy Spirit came on the apostles. The Holy Spirit came on the household of Cornelius. Now, if you'll go to Acts chapter 19 then, Acts chapter 19, this kind of ties in with Acts chapter 8, where it says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so Paul asked them, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there was about 12 men in all. So now this is a little different. This is a little unique. It's more like what happened in Acts chapter 8. The Holy Spirit didn't just come on these apostles, but when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues. All right. So in Acts 2 and Acts 10, these are unique. These are two unique instances of the Holy Spirit coming on them for credentializing them, for showing that God had indeed accepted the apostles and he had indeed accepted the Gentiles to respond to the gospel. In Acts 8, Peter and John had to lay their hands on these people before they received these miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit gave them to him. And here in Acts 19, okay, they were baptized. It says on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when they did that, we know from the other scripture that what? They received the indwelling of the Spirit. He came to live in them. They were sealed with the Spirit of God, Christ in them, the hope of glory. And so it was only after they were baptized and now they're a part of the body of Christ that Paul places his hands on them and the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues. In other words, it was a recognizable, the Holy Spirit coming on them, you couldn't see that happening, but the fact that all of a sudden now they're speaking in other languages they didn't know and prophesying, okay, showed that they had received those gifts of the Holy Spirit. So going back real quick to Acts chapter 8, I know this might be a little bit technical and a little bit deep, but sometimes we need to go a little bit deeper in the Word of God, don't we? It's not just all fluff and simple things. Sometimes there's some very deep things in the Scripture that can challenge our thinking. And so back in Acts chapter 8, verse 18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands. So even though it doesn't record it here, when Peter and John placed their hands on them, they obviously were able to start doing something that could be seen. Whether it was speaking in tongues, whether it was prophesying, whether it was some other kind of spiritual gift that they received. The Holy Spirit gives those things to those that he chooses to. And this is why it's so neat that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 And verse 28, it says, "And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues." Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? In other words, no. It's only those who receive those gifts through the laying on of the apostles' hands at the beginning of the kingdom of God to show and to help the early church grow in the grace and knowledge before the Holy Spirit had guided the apostles into all of the rest of the truth that God wanted us to have. That's why over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it talks about love never fails in verse 8, "But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." In other words, those were all part of the early church. Once the foundation has been laid, those things don't have to continue to be operative. They don't need to continue to be something. And frankly, there wasn't any other apostles to lay hands on people that they might receive those miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so, again, back in Acts chapter 8, Simon saw that they received them, and he offered them money. "Give me this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." That didn't go over well with Peter very well, did it? And Peter said, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, okay, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin." And Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So, Simon had a weak moment. He was a new Christian. He'd followed the ways of the flesh for all those years and the pride and the arrogance and wanting to do that. And it just got back hold of him all over again. And so it doesn't mean that he was lost. It doesn't mean that he never became a Christian. It just means that, wow, he needed to repent, just like Peter said, and pray to the Lord and get over this stuff, because he was going right back to those fleshly ways that he used to follow before he decided to follow Christ. All right, so here's the thing about it is that God does amazing things, and God does amazing works in our life, and even those works that he doesn't do in our life that he did in some lives in the early church, that's okay. You know, the most important thing is that all of us who respond to the gospel, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And all those other miraculous gifts, what matters is that we have Christ in us. What matters is that we're standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he loved us and he gave his life for us. All right? Wow, what a great lesson. Definitely something to go back over, ponder, think about. If you have any other questions, hey, we're the church at Las Vegas. We'd love to hear those questions. We meet together on Sunday morning at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. We meet together Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We're going through the Proverbs on Wednesday nights. Come and join us. You can find us online at thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And until next week, Lord willing, keep standing on that solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.